Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 2, and we stopped at Church of Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. And look at the Church of Thyatira. It's the fourth church. And there's only two churches in chapter 2 and 3 that God doesn't tell them to repent. And he tells Thyatira to repent. And I told you this. We go through it every time. This is churches in the past, in history. There were seven churches. And there's seven churches in the future, tribulation. And because the Bible tells you here, it's going to be going into great tribulation. And then these are representing time periods. And this Thyatira represents from 500 A.D. to 1000 A.D. And look at verse 18. It says, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like the flame of fire, his feet are like the fine brass. And brass, fine brass represents where his feet are fine brass is because of his judgment. He's going to stomp out the wine press. And in Armageddon, when the Bible says, take your Bible, look in Joel chapter 2, look over Joel, Old Testament. All the way through the Old Testament, it talks about a time when God's going to come back. Israel's going to go back to their land. And the Lord's going to drive them out. Then he's going to bring them back. And he brought them back in 1948. And then all the nations of the world is going to go against them and try to annihilate them. And that's what the world, that's what the president of Iran said. That's what every one of the Arab countries, they want to annihilate the Jews. They want to get rid of them. They want to just kill them all. And that's going to come. Adolf Hitler did a pretty good job, but he didn't get them all. And Adolf Hitler, you said, why in the world, like I was talking about last week, why in the world would a people want to annihilate and exterminate one race of people? Why in the world, man? When the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, and when they said this, they brought judgment upon themselves. And when they said, and you know, I'm going to tell you this, you can bring judgment upon yourself as a child of God. And a lot of times people think, well, I'm saved, I can't bring judgment. Yes, you can. You can bring judgment upon yourself. And because of the law of sowing and reaping is still in effect, no matter if you're a child of God or not, if you're not. And Joel chapter 2, look at this. And Joel chapter 2, and look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. And chapter 3, look at verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords. Now, Isaiah tells them on the United Nations, they said they'll beat their swords into plowshares. Here, God says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, verse 11. Come, all ye heathen, and gather yourself together around about. Hither what calls thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge the heathen around about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar like a lion. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, over in chapter 2, it talks about, I'm looking for where it says, here it is. I'm looking for where it says he'll stomp them, the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of God. Oh, is it what? I'm looking for it look, chapter 3, verse 1. This is the battle of Armageddon. And I will also gather all nations and will bring them down in the valley of Jehoshaphat, will plead with them and there for my people, for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and a girl for and sold a girl for wine. I'm looking for that one where it says he'll stomp the wine press. Where is it? Oh, man. Oh, my. I'm thinking it's here. let me look at Isaiah then. Isaiah 63, you said? Read that to us. Yeah, right. Stand up, read that, Brian. Yes, go ahead and read that. That's the verse right there. But I was thinking in Joel, there's another verse on that. Maybe I'll look at it later. Go back to Revelation chapter 3.
Revelation 15:20.
Well, that's going to be another time. In Revelation 19, when he says he's going to come back, mount up, and he's going to have blood on his vesture and on his, and he's going to have the name Lord of Lords and King of Kings on the side. Now go to Revelation chapter 2, and he says, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience." There's faith there, there's service, there's patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess." And Jezebel, basically, she had prophets of Baal, and Jezebel represents what we have now. She's Baal worship, and that's what the Catholic Church is—Baal worship. And Jezebel represents that. That's who the woman is. Go to Revelation chapter 19, and Revelation 19. No, that's not it. Revelation chapter 17. Go to Revelation 17. And it talks about committing fornication with her. And chapter 17, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven veils and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." And this is a religion. This is a church. "Of whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made themselves drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet-colored, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth." And she represents Jezebel. She represents Jezebel. And everything in the New Testament, and when God gives a prophecy, it's always something in the Old Testament to back it up or to show you where it originated from. And that's what it is. Look at verse 6. "I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, the Catholic Church is trying to tell you this has happened in the past. No, this is the future. This is a future event. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" John the Beloved saw Rome. He saw the Caesars. He saw all that stuff. But this is something that's so far outfetched that he said, "Man, I wondered with that admiration. This blew me away to see this." And it's coming. That's still coming. And that church has been the longest lasting. Now go back to Revelation chapter 2. This is the church of Thyatira. Spiritually speaking, 500 A.D. to 1000 A.D. And you know the Catholic Church was founded around 313 A.D., and they were founded then, and now they've gone, they made their run. Now, I got into it with a Catholic, Knights of Columbus. So he gave me a whole article written out about all the popes, and he goes all the way back to Jesus Christ. And that they had to make them up. And that was something he got off the internet. But when you study religion, brother, I'll tell you what, religion makes you mad. I'm mad as a hornet religion. People always say, "Well, you're religious." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not religious. I can understand. I didn't want nothing to do with religion when I got saved. I mean, before I was saved and after I got saved. I don't want nothing to do. Religion makes you mad because all the wars that's been going on is over religion. I was listening to a talk show the other day. They said, "Well, that's why I'm sick of religion, because all the wars have been fighting, been over religion." And they're right. They've been right. All the wars been fought over religion. Buddhism, Christianity, so-called Christianity. That was the Roman Catholic Church. And if you read If you study about the Dark Ages, you read about, and you study about the Crusades, all that was religion. It's basically the Catholic Church against Islam. Now the Catholic Church is uniting with Islam. They figured, well, we might as well get together. And that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to bring all of them together. So when you, I had a lady say to me, she says, or a guy told me, he said, I don't like to go to a church where they talk about other people's religion. I said, that's my job, is point out where religion is wrong. Religion is damn people to hell. There's people sitting in pews every Sunday going to hell, man, because they thought, because they were baptized or they gave money to a priest or they made a confessional or something, they're going to heaven. No, Jesus Christ didn't come down and say, okay, what, all the Baptists over here, all the Methodists here, all the Catholics here, all the Muslims there, all the, this, he don't do that. Episcopalians over here, he don't do that. He said, what did you do with my son? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not about religion. People make it about religion. Why do you think ISIS? You think, well, maybe we can talk to them. No, you ain't talking to them. They're not going to change their mind. You're an infidel, they'll cut your head off. A lady got mad at me Sunday talking about some things, and I was out. She says, well, I got a good friend. He's a Muslim. His name is Muhammad. I said, Muhammad, from the days of the Dark Age when Islam started, Muhammad would kill you. Muhammad was a pervert. Muhammad had little girls as his wife, 9 years old, little pervert. So when the Bible tells you something, man, look out, watch, look. I mean, it's going to tell you, it's going to go back. Jezebel, she had 850 prophets of Baal, and the Bible says 450 of the grove. What church has groves where they got statues in there? You go down to South America, people beating themselves, cutting themselves, and they're trying to make a way to heaven. They think if they beat themselves enough, if they torture themselves, or they hang on a cross in Mexico, they nail people to crosses, they drag them through the street. They think, oh, they're surely going to go to heaven because they did that. They go through all that stuff, man. All they have to do is trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. They go through all kinds of religion. And then the Muslims say, well, you know, if you really want to get this guarantee heaven, kill an infidel. You get 70 virgins. 70 women. God, have mercy. Look at here. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. The Lord's talking. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Against thee because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. That woman. Yeah, that's what Maurice would say. That woman. That woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess. And look what it says she does. And to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. And I talked about fornication last week. Fornication is flesh joining flesh. Adultery is when you break up the marriage vow. And fornication is when the flesh joins flesh if he's already made a vow to somebody else. And that then it turns into adultery. So how can those two, they said them two are the same. No, they're not. Adultery, a man can commit, look at a woman and commit adultery in his heart. A woman can do the same with a man, commit adultery in her heart. But this thing here, they're joining up. Fornication is joining up. And it says, and call herself a prophetess to teach and seduce. You know what a guy would do? He'll seduce a woman. That's why guys like go to a bar and find a woman that, you know, she's drinking, they seduce her. And they'll give her a drink. Oh, Bill Cosby was seducing women. That's what he did. He's a pervert. And it says, seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed on idols. When the early church saw Constantine, when he said, I'm a Christian, they knew better. They knew he was mixing Baal worship, and that's what religion is doing today. They mix Baal worship and worshiping of idols, lighting candles. I took all the kids over to Washington one time, and we had three buses. We had three grand. We had kids from Georgia and North Carolina and from Delaware. And we pulled up in the eighth largest Catholic church in Washington, D.C., and we went up there, and, man, they got... Every Catholic church you go into, $3 to light a candle and pray to a saint. $3. Yeah, it's probably more than that. Probably $5. Can you imagine if you came in here and we had little areas and we had candles burning and had $3 if you want to pray to a saint? And they got saints for everything. They just made, what's her name? Mother Teresa a saint. If you're saved, the Bible says you're already a saint. saying to God, I don't have to wait till I die, and then maybe the cardinals will vote on it. Well, maybe she is a saint, maybe she ain't. If you're saved, you're going to be a saint of God. But, man, religion, brother, the Catholic Church and religion is the biggest money-making racket there is. Religion. Say, well, I never thought I'd hear that from a preacher. Oh, yeah. Religion. And that's why it's important to be saved. That's why it's important to know the truth. The Catholic Church owns billions. And I believe Rome could probably pay off the national deficit right now. Trillions. They used to own the controlling interests of Miller Brewing Company. And it got out and they got rid of it. They own all the wineries. They have controlling interests. Why? Because it says, look what it says. Seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed on idols. And I gave her space to repent. She's got a cup in her hand, Revelation chapter 17, and it's wine. Get them drunk. And that's seducing, she seduced Christianity to make them think that she's just the same. You got churches today. I heard Kenneth Copeland. He had a Catholic priest come to his church, and he said the Pope is probably one of the greatest men that ever lived. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. The Pope is a killer. That's why he always, you know, they believe they should control the world. That's what they believe. That's their mission, is control the whole world. And all the kingdoms of the world will bow down to him. That's why you find this woman sitting on a beast. She's going to hook up with the Antichrist. Go to Revelation 17 again. Look at this. Look at it. She's going to hook up with this beast, and she's going to kiss the beast. And then the beast is going to realize she's using him, and she's going to kill it, or he's going to wipe it out. And look at this. He says in verse 2 of Revelation 17, and with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They've been made drunk. You got Christianity today saying, oh, yeah, we're just like the Catholic Church. You know what? The Lutheran Church, Martin Luther, when he was a Catholic priest, Martin Luther was, and when he realized, when reading the Bible, he realized justification came by faith alone. That's what he realized. And Martin Luther started preaching it in his church. And the Pope wrote him a letter, or the Archbishop wrote him a letter, said, you better be careful, or you're in jeopardy of losing and being excommunicated out of the church. So Martin Luther wrote back, and they had letters going back and forth. He was a German. And, man, you read that thing about what Martin Luther went through, and he went in before the Pope, and the Pope called him Italy, and he went in before the Pope, and he called him Most Hellish Father. The Pope takes a name for himself that only Jesus Christ gave to God the Father, called Holy Father. Yeah. And the Pope takes that name, yeah. Calls himself Holy Father. And people bow down, kiss his feet, and kiss his ring, and all that other stuff. You said, man, religion, that's what religion. You said, oh, you hate the Catholic? No, I don't hate the Catholic people. I hate the system. I hate the system. Why? Because the system keeps people in darkness. And if you read history, and church history, they used to chain the Bible to the pulpit. If anybody was caught, in the common man, see, that most people don't realize history. And the preacher said, if you don't understand where history is, and you don't know where you came from, where you're going, then you're just sailing the sea without, I mean, you're just floating around, man. And what happened was, when they were chained the Bible to the pulpit, anybody got caught reading it went to jail. If somebody got caught translating the Bible from the Latin or the Greek, like Wycliffe, like Tyndale, they were killed, put in prison, burnt at the stake. They gave them a chance to recant and say, you deny, you know, deny this wrongdoing, you'll be punished. And they said, no. So a lot of men went to jail and went to prison and died burning at the stake because they would not recant to the Roman Catholic Church. Why? The Roman Catholic Church had control of the states, Spain, Italy, Germany, and England kicked them out because they made fun of King Henry VIII because he wanted to remarry, and the Pope said, you can't, and he kicked the Catholic Church out and started his own religion, Anglican Church. So You, like I said, religion is the most crooked thing there is, man. And but when the Bible tells you something, you can mark it down. It's right on the money. And when it calls her a whore, a great whore, and she gets people drunk with the wine of her fornication, and she controls the world, the kings of the earth have committed. Look at it, look at chapter 17 again. It says, and whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made themselves drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried him away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. She hooks up with the Antichrist, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. She's a monstrosity, or he is. He's a monstrosity. She's sitting on it. Isn't it something that how every movie, they always have a beautiful girl, and the monster is trying to get the girl? But this one here, she's the monster. And it says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written. And it says, Mystery Babylon the Great. You know, the Bible talks about a woman of the night. It talks about a prostitute and something about her forehead. It says, upon her forehead is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken. No, look what it says she's drunken with. The blood of the saints. She's drinking blood. You know what that is? That's Satan worshiping. In Satan worship, they drink blood. And the Bible forbids to drink blood in the book of Leviticus. And in Satan worshiping, they drinking blood. And she's drunk with the blood of the saints. You know how many, if you would read history and know, if we could know a number of how many Christians were killed for their faith by the church. Japan ran, the Catholic Church started a military section of their church. That's why they have Swiss guards, they have their own state. The Vatican now is its own state. They have their own government. The Pope is the leader of it. The Vatican State is, we have ambassadors to the Vatican now. Ronald Reagan sent ambassador to the Vatican. We have, so the Vatican has their own state, and they sit on the, and the Bible describes there's only one place in the world that this church is located, is where it sits on seven mountains. It's seven mountains. Only one place in the world. One place. Isn't that something? God describes it. Calls it right out, man. Seven mountains. And a city sits on seven mountains, only one place in the world. I was watching a CNN newscaster one day, and he was talking about religion. And you know what he said? He interviewed the Episcopals, the Lutherans. Now the Lutherans, they're all hooked up with the Roman Church. The Greek Orthodox want to hook up with the Roman Church. They're all hooking up. And this CNN newscaster said this. He said, all roads lead to Rome. That's what he said. And with religion, the Roman Catholic Church, they try to say, well, it wasn't for you. You Protestants didn't get started till years later. That's a lie. That's a big, bare-faced lie. And they try to make it look like we're the oldest church in the world, and the Protestants, you just came along under Martin Luther and, you know, all that stuff. But Martin Luther realized that what they were doing, so Martin Luther broke. That's where the Lutheran church started, the Lutherans. Now the Lutherans are headed back to Rome. So go back to Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse 20. God says, this is what God says, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou suffer that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed on the idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. And he says, behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into the great, look what it says, underlying great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. The Catholic Church blamed the Jews when they had the Black Plague in Europe. And what it was, the Germans, the Europeans, they were eating their meat without washing it. They just eat it, you know, they would eat. And the Jews, under Levitical law, they had to wash the meat. They had to go through a process to make sure the meat was sanitary. Where the Europeans, they would just take it and stick it on the fire and eat it, you know. And they blood and all. And so the Black Death came, and thousands died. So then the Europeans said, the Jews are not dying. They brought a curse on us. It's their fault. So they started killing Jews again. So the Jews has been blamed for everything. And you ever notice, if you ever watch, you watch, you know, movies, you see always the producers of movies are Jews. Bankers, Jews. Everywhere, man, the Jews are in the money. That's where they're at. So the world hates the Jews because of the money. And that's why Hitler hated them. Because after World War I, Hitler came back after Germany was ruined. The Jews bought up all the banks. They bought up the land. They bought everything up. And Hitler looked at those Jews and said, man, they're a bunch of crooks, which the Jews will. They always say they'll Jew you out of your eye teeth. That's where they get it from. They go, mocking the Jews. So Hitler went and killed 6 million of them. He says, I will kill your children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the heart, and as I will give unto every one of you according to your works. See, that's one thing people forget. God knows what your heart is. God searches the heart. That's why it's important to keep your heart right. God knows your heart. He knows why you do what you do. If you're serving the Lord for some other reason than because you love him, that's not the right reason. That's not going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. God knows your heart. I want to serve the Lord because I love him. Now, I do it out of duty as well. I do it out of duty. But I want to do it because I love him. God searches the heart. He says, look at verse 24. Unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as I have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. Check that out. Depths of Satan? The doctrine of Jezebel, talking about going and seducing, fornication, and going into great tribulation. And he says, unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. So doctrine is important, folks. Amen. Knowing your Bible, knowing what's right, Amen. Is important.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Instead of having false doctrine.
Yeah.
So that's why I talk about people's religion. I start saying, like, the Church of Christ, they teach baptism and regeneration. The Pentecostals teach, they're part of the Pentecostals there, they teach there's a three-part salvation, where salvation is by faith through plus nothing. So it's important to know doctrine, why you believe what you believe, what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And if you don't, you'll the Bible says don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
So then you get to the place where you say, well, I don't want to talk about the Bible. Let's talk about Jesus. But if you're going to talk about Jesus, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's people that talk about Jesus, but they ain't the same Jesus I know. So that's not hate literature either, folks. It's just Bible. It's not, you say you hate people. No, man. Why we send missionaries around the world? We love people. Red, yellow, black, or white. We love them. We'll see them saved. He says, but I say unto you, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, notice that overcoming, and keepeth my works unto the end. Now there's a verse, take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at this. Unto the end. Into what? Now, I'm not working now to be saved. I'm already saved.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, you're saved. You're not working to get saved. I'm already saved. I work because I love him. I want to see other people saved. And that's why we're meeting together at Faith Baptist Church. We're telling people about Jesus Christ. Hey, we want to see more people come to church and see people get saved. And we're not working to get there. We're already going there. The Bible says, man, the Bible says I'm already seated there. And so are you. That's crazy how God looks out there and sees us already there. The Bible tells us that. And look at Matthew 24. Look at this. The Bible talks about somebody have to endure to the end. And the end of what? Now, if you're not saved, you're going to have to endure to the end of a tribulation. It's called great tribulation. And if you're not saved, you're going to be sitting around here. The rapture is going to take place. People are going to go out of here. They're, on the news media, it's going to say, millions disappeared. Where did they go? Aliens took them. It's going to be crazy, man. I've got a newspaper over there in my, it's called The Rapture or something like that from the 1970s. And it was saying, you know, millions disappear and clothes and blood and everything everywhere. And when people are going crazy, going to start breaking mad. They run into churches trying to find out what happened. And churches are going to fill up. You know, just like after 9/11, churches started filling up. People start going, what's happening, man? What's going on? People don't think about the Lord coming back until something happens. You better be thinking about the Bible says the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. Boom, you're gone. That's why it's important to keep your account up to date, man. Look at Matthew 24, look at verse 13. Somebody's got to endure to the end. It says, let's look at verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Man, there's more wars going on right now. Phew. And see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. America, we think, America, what a great country. And it is. I love America. But you, America, this is the only country I've ever known to have three wars going on at the same time and beat everybody. That's something, man. Boy, proud to be in America. At least I know I'm free. But you know what? America's real powerful. America right now don't want to hear nothing about God. They want to kick God out everywhere. Our congressmen, senators, let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of him. We don't need this God thing. You know what? I believe what made America great was because our forefathers came here and they had a Bible in their hand. You said, well, they took sold land from the Indians. Yeah, they probably did. But God blessed America. The Indians sit around. They talk about, you know, Americans, a white man stealing the land. I was out in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. There's a tribe, but they need Jesus Christ. But all they do is the government give them funds and they just stay drunk. It says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. There is, but in America, there is no famine. Very seldom we ever have an earthquake in America, but you hear about all over the other places. I mean, tsunamis, all that stuff. I mean, just the other day, they had an earthquake in Spain or Italy. Whole town wiped out, people dying. They had an earthquake in Haiti. I'll tell you this. Right in Port-au-Prince, Maurice told me. He was there. And Haiti, Maurice was in the, Maurice prays a couple hours a day. And he prays for this church. And he was in a hotel right there in Port-au-Prince. And he was praying. He felt the ground start shaking. Buildings were collapsing all around. That hotel that he was in, the only one that didn't collapse. And Maurice was out searching, trying to find people, translating everything for some of the, there was the United Nations there. God taking care of his people. And it says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning, look what it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Just the start of things. You say, are you trying to scare us? No, man, I'm just telling you, this is what the Bible says is going to happen. You need to, you know, we're not going to go stick our head in the sand. We want to know what's going on, man, when it's coming. But I know this, right at World War II, everybody thought that was the end. World War I, they thought that was the end. You know, the Iraqi war, they thought Saddam Hussein, you know, he's the Antichrist. You know, And there's a lot of men that's been in history that's been the type of the Antichrist. But when he shows up, when the Antichrist really shows up, it's going to be something else. That's why it's important to be saved. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, talking about the Jews, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They're hated right now, folks. They're hated for being connected with God. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. We got plenty of false prophets right now. They're on TV, man. Not all of them are false prophets. I'm saying some of them. It says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax what? What does it say? People are cold. And he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be what? That's somebody enduring for the 7 year. If I have my chart up here to show you, there's going to be a 7 year period called time of Jacob's trouble. And they have to endure to that 7 years, into that 7 years, without receiving the mark of the beast, without getting all that. The government now, we went to the bank and went to open up an account for Brother Eddie a while back. And we just renewed the loan and everything. And they were saying, well, you got to do this, do this, do this. I said, wait a minute, I'm not doing all that. We're not doing all that. And the lady said, well, you have to. And I said, what is the government? She said, the government is cracking down on banks harder and harder. And she said, you got to do it. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, go back, talk to this guy, Miller, and he'll tell you. And she called me up and said, I'm sorry, you don't have to do it. I said, you already got my information. You think people say, well, I'm just going to use cash. Nobody will know what I'm doing. They know what you're doing. They know what you're doing. And they're trying to tighten it up even more. And Bible says, and he that endure the end, the same shall be saved. So in the tribulation period, there's going to be people enduring to the end, not receiving the mark of the beast. Say, what is the mark of the beast? It'll start with 666 or end with 666. And it'll be your social security number or whatever number in there. It'll have 666. And then the Bible says the Antichrist wants to put a mark on you. In your hand or in the forehead. That's what'll happen. When the Bible says going into great tribulation, when it says it says tribulation and then great tribulation. The tribulation is 3.5 years. And then the great tribulation is the latter 3.5 years. 7 years total. Great tribulation. So all hell is going to break loose. And look at chapter 24 Matthew and look at verse 21. Look what it says. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. So the great tribulation, when man, I've talked to a lot of roofers, I've worked with guys and people, they said, man, this is, look here, man, this is hell on earth, man. Yeah, man, this is hell on earth. I said, you ain't know nothing about hell on earth. It's coming. I said, this is hell, baby. I've got it made. This is the only part of hell I ever see. If you're saved, this is the only part of hell you ever see. But this, if you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you ever see. So it's all what you, if you're saved, this can be a little bit of heaven on earth, brother. So great tribulation. We'll stop right there, all right? Amen.